Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Football Friday continues. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off through New Year's. Sal Capaccio with me now on the West Her Hotline. I always feel like when I do what I did today to apologize to Sal for texting, what? Texting his ears off? Is it your ears when it's texts about schedule theories? Sal, I'm sorry. You were on the air probably too.
No, that's I don't mind. I feel bad because you're texting me while I'm on the air, which doesn't matter to me, but I feel bad I can't get back to you right away because you texted me while I'm on the air. And I'm like, well, I'll do it like during the break, you know. So I waited a little bit. I think I was in a break when I texted you back. I don't mind the schedule talk at all. I like when I get texts from you, Mike, because, you know, we don't chat a lot. So, you know, things like that are good. I you made my day schedule. Actually, it was not a problem whatsoever. I promise you.
You're just my schedule guy.
Yeah,
and,
I like
and
that.
So this morning I started to crunch what could happen this week and what might they do next week. And the last time we talked, we spent almost the entire conversation on schedule guesses. So I'm not sure I want to be doing that today, but I do love it. I just thought it was interesting, and again, we can move off of it, but how Tampa Bay has this Atlanta-Washington game Sunday night. And if Atlanta wins, that is like that's better for Tampa in the wild card. They still have that path possible through Washington. If Washington wins, then Tampa would go back to the top with a win Sunday in the division. That's still better for the Bucs. But, you know, how that plays out could mean something to what we end up watching in primetime next week.
Yeah, I agree. And after last night's, you know, Seattle result, we're still in play here for Rams, Seahawks. The Cardinals have something to say about that. I'm convinced if the Cardinals beat the Rams tomorrow, I think we get Rams, Seahawks Sunday night. I think that's the game. I guess, well, yeah,
that's
I think
perfect,
that would be
though.
The game.
I agree.
I think that'd be the game, yeah.
It's perfect. You know, winner's in, and it's LA. Like, I think it's perfect, so I would say the same.
Yeah, I think that's where we're trending. The other one is that came up today is we were talking about this on Extra Point Show, and I included your text. I actually read what you texted me about your guests, and I liked it. Someone asked me about Wild Card Weekend. It was a really good question, so we might as well just put it out there because, you know, it's coming up here in a few weeks. The NFL always has one game on Monday night, Wild Card Weekend. What they do is they put two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. One game on Monday night. Remember the Bills last year were supposed to play the early Sunday game, but because of the weather, the game got pushed back a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't play till Monday, but it wasn't scheduled for Monday. So someone said to me, what are the chances the Bills could play the Monday night wild card game? And just so everybody knows, in case you didn't, it's pretty much they're not going to. The chances are pretty much zero, because what the NFL does is they schedule a 4-5 matchup on the Monday Night Football game. And the reason is all of the teams know who they're playing by then. That 4-5 matchup has the least implications to throw off the bracket. So they want everybody kind of not to have to wait until Monday night to know who they're playing. So you're going to get either the NFC or the AFC 4-5 matchup on Monday night.
Has that literally been the case each year? Is it 2 or 3 years? Yes. Only? It has. It's been 4 or 5. Remember, yeah. Arizona and the Rams. Dallas, Tampa was one. And I guess I forget last year's, but...
Arizona and the Rams was 21, well, the first year they did this. 22 was Dallas-Tampa, as you said. Last year was Eagles-Buccaneers.
Okay, right. Tampa won that game.
Bucks crushed them.
We also don't know TV, by the way, for this. Mm-hmm. One of the first four playoff games will be on Prime, I believe. And I'm not sure how they decide which one, but there'll be a CBS game or two. There'll be a Fox game or two. And one will have one will have two, and there'll be one prime game Saturday or Sunday. Then Sunday night is NBC like usual, and Monday night is ESPN ABC like usual.
Yeah, so they're not locked into windows, huh? They're not locked into a certain time and day for those, right?
I have not seen that be the case anywhere yet.
Okay. Yeah, they got to wait for the matchups, I guess. I don't know. I wonder if it's a – I guess I wonder who gets first dibs and how they determine that.
Yeah,
if it's just the NFL placing it, because obviously the networks have some sort of say, or they're going to want something. You know, they're going to want a better game. So that's going to be interesting. If I had to pin you down right now, though, all right, how about this? Let's advance 1 week. So let's do schedule for a second, but not week 18.
Okay.
If I had to pin you down right now, and I said, all right, Mike, which one goes on Monday Night Football? Is it the 4-5 AFC game, which definitely is going to be hosted by the Houston Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it would be Pittsburgh at Houston, but it doesn't have to be. Or is it going to be the 4-5 NFC game, which is going to be hosted by the NFC South winner?
Easily NFC for me. Because the AFC South is always the first game.
Yeah, I know,
and Houston
right?
is as boring as any of these other teams from the AFC South that shows up, or as mediocre, or whatever. Like they just would. Who would be favored if it's Pittsburgh? Is kind of wonky
Steelers,
too?
Though.
Yeah,
yeah. Steelers are a national brand. Now I will point out though. That let's see, 2020, I got to go back, 2022, the AFC South did play Saturday, but it was the night game. It was that comeback the Jags had over the Chargers.
Yeah, right. There must have been a glitch.
glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah. I think the NFC playoffs, 4-5 and then 3-6, that is the Vikings and the Packers on the road against NFC South and NFC West teams. And that's just really good. Especially the Vikings or the Packers going out to L.A. again, maybe. They both have been there this year. The Vikings lost there. Or it's Detroit, which is even better for this. I mean, that's pretty hot. I don't think anybody against the Texans is hot.
I agree with that. This would be, it would resonate much more television-wise. I'm sure the network executives would much rather have the NFC, as you just put it, the sixth game. You're going to in the 5-4. So I'm looking at this. This is a year where we're going to have two in the NFC, two wildcard teams traveling to division winners with lesser records.
Yep. I thought you were going to ask me where I'd put the Bills game, but I'd put it Sunday at 1. I don't think.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think there is a team there for that matchup if the Bills are the two that's like so interesting. And they might not want to put the Chargers in a 1 o'clock road game in the playoffs. So that would be my guess. Baltimore at night, Buffalo 1 o'clock Sunday, which would be great, right? I mean, that just never happens anymore until this week. But there hasn't been so much of that. And then Houston on Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They did play on the Saturday a few years ago, but guess what that was? The Indianapolis Colts. That was a Saturday AFC South special.
Back in the old days when they had a Saturday 1 o'clock even 12:30 playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to this week, and we'll get to injuries, but we haven't talked since Tuesday, I guess. What is your feeling about this game? We've learned more about what the playoff outlook is. It's still important, maybe not as big as it would have been, definitely not, had Kansas City lost its game. But still, you've got the 2 seed to play for here, so I'm guessing Bills go all out. Let's talk about that from your perspective and then the matchup itself.
So I don't know if you caught Sean McDermott with me today on Extra Point Show.
I was too busy texting you with the schedule.
Ah, there you go. I don't know, Zach, I don't know if you could pull the exact sound, because I don't want to misrepresent what Sean said, but it was somewhere in there. So I apologize, Zach, for putting you under the spotlight, on the spot like this. But I will say that I thought it was really interesting. I asked him specifically, Mike. I said, okay, here you are, Sean. You can't get the one seat anymore. We know that that would have been what you're vying for, what you're after. But you still have to lock up the two seed. So knowing all that, like how do you play this going forward, knowing you have kind of 2 weeks to get that and, you know, where you want to be here. And he said something to the effect of, yeah, seeding matters, but it also doesn't as much. Like, he kind of middled it a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Which I thought was really interesting. Now, he did say, we're playing to win. We want to win. We want to win all our games. Yeah, that's true. Mike, they could start, you know, they could sit all 22 starters and they still want to win, right? I mean, that doesn't change. Saying you want to win, there's no doubt about that. You want to win no matter what. I would also tell you that I think it's important for them to win at home. It's a home game. You know, they have an 8-0 record. They could go 9-0 at home. It's the first, it'd be the first time since 1990, right? Nine this yep. year. Was it eight this year or nine this year? Yeah, nine. First time since 1990, they could go undefeated at home.
It's eight this year. All that matters. It's eight this year, yeah. But it would be the first time undefeated since 90, like you said.
Thank you. Eight this year, not nine. But
Detroit.
It would be, it'd be the first time that would happen since 1990. I think all that matters. I think the Bills definitely would like to wrap this up this week. My perspective, my take is the Bills they want to win this game. They're going to start their starters. They want to go out there. They want to win this game. They want to leave no doubt. Then they have 1 week where they can back off and kind of get healthy. That's how I look at it. However, listening to Sean, I think there's an element of we're not going to do anything risky here. Like, we're not going to put guys out there that don't need to be out there if we think they're close. Like, that's just how I read it. For him to specifically say, yeah, seeding does matter, but it kind of doesn't too, in whatever way he did there, like I said, was just a little interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't case closed. Like, obviously.
Right.
Because sometimes a coach will just sound like, no, this is 1 week at a time. This is what, you know. But he cracked the door open. Do you think MVP stuff matters at all? Just at all, right? Like, I had a guest on earlier, Connor Rogers from New York, talking about a scenario, because he liked the Bills to sort of score big in this game. And we talked about, well, how do they do that? And he was sort of thinking maybe the only risk here is if the Bills get way ahead and mm-hmm. just sort of slow play it. And I just said to him, the MVP thing matters to a lot of people. It probably matters to Allen. And it got close again. Maybe you'd break ties here with whether it's, goal to go or just what, having him try to, you know, remind everybody why he's the favorite, to put it one way.
Yes, it's a really interesting conversation. I when you say it got close again, like, are you kind of still trusting? I know you love the betting markets kind of are your guide. Do you still trust that he's the guy that's in front that's going to win this as of right now?
I think I don't mean this like how it's going to sound. I think he could still blow it. I think it could still flip if he struggles in this game or even if they lose. I don't know that he's in trouble if he has sort of an average Josh Allen game, but I'm just saying I don't think it has to be over because, right. as you've, I'm sure, talked about, it's just so interesting how Jackson has flipped the script on Allen, or Allen has flipped it on Jackson from last year, where there was a totally reasonable argument that Allen deserved to win last year, but the Bills lost six games and the Ravens lost, what, three or four, like they might have, whatever the end of the season was, but they were the dominant team. And so this year the Bills are the team with the better record. They lost to Baltimore head-to-head, though, and Jackson, like, he's going to be the first quarterback ever to lead in net yards per attempt and yards per carry, and we know how much the rushing matters to both guys. So, like last year when it was Allen, I think this year a Jackson argument is also reasonable.
Yeah, I like the way you think. I'm glad you recognize that. I think that's been the biggest frustration with a lot of Bills fans and Josh Allen backers, is that it seems like the parameters have kind of changed for the ones who are backing Lamar for this year. But I agree with you that I think both were very worthy candidates last year. I think both are very worthy candidates this year. But it does, it would kind of stink, I think, from a perspective of a Buffalo perspective and Josh Allen perspective, if he doesn't get this year. And it's because, well, look at the stats. When last year it was, well, he had the stats, but it was more about the other stuff that you're talking about. That being said, I think it's closer now. I do. I know what the betting markets are saying, but man, the what I'm hearing and reading, and I don't know the exact voters what they're thinking, but a lot of the talking heads and national media, it just seems like a lot. There's a lot of momentum towards Lamar right now. There really is, and I don't know. I think Josh might need more than an average game here to kind of solidify that, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. As far as it be mattering, look, yeah, it matters. It matters to a lot of people. People will call us or tweet us and tell us, well, what doesn't matter? Just winning Super Bowl matters. Yes, of course, right? We all know that Josh Allen would rather win a Super Bowl than an MVP, and Lamar Jackson would rather win a Super Bowl than an MVP. Yes, of course we know that. But it absolutely matters. It matters to the organization. It matters to the player. These are their legacies we're talking about. I mean, Lamar has two of them. Josh has done so much in this league already. He hasn't won a Lombardi, hasn't won an MVP. It matters so much. His offensive line gifted him a diamond necklace with MVP on it, with 17. Like, that, they are presenting him as the MVP. Now, granted, you could say MVP of the team, but I think we all know what they're trying to say there. Today, really interesting, I just saw this. I wasn't down there today. So I was doing Extra Point Show. Matt Bove had tweeted an interview he did with Spencer Brown asking him about this very question you just asked me. And Spencer Brown's answer was very interesting. And he basically said, yeah, you know, we all know, like, this happened last year and Josh didn't get it. And now here he is and he deserves it. And he says, we think so. And the question was, like, do you think you want to prove a point on Sunday? And Spencer basically said, yes. Like, I thought it was interesting. He basically said, like, yeah, we'd like to go out there and do that and prove it. But so I wonder what that means. Like, yeah, are they, you're not doing it at the expense of winning the game, but now suddenly, like, is there a situation where, okay, this is an opportunity. Let's try to get this one in the end zone to get it to Josh. Let's have a couple, you know, plays here where, you know, we have an opportunity to go deep and get some yards. I don't know what that looks like, but he said that. And to me, that's a very big indication right there of him telling you it matters to people. The Bills have had two MVPs in their entire history, OJ Simpson and Thurman Thomas. And Thurman Thomas won it 34 years ago. Ironically, number 34, right? But I mean, or 33, I guess now, 33 years ago. But I just think it matters to a lot of people. Sean McDermott said on last Friday on the Extra Point Show that he thinks that Josh Allen is the MVP. He said this unprompted to me on the radio. So yeah, I think it matters.
I think Kelly was second that year too when Thurman won, if I remember right. Would the linemen, when buying that jewelry, discuss like whether they think Allen would wear it? Like, was that something he would wear?
Oh, you know what? I think Dion did discuss that. Like, yeah, he's probably not going to wear it or something, but, you know, we don't care. Like, I think he'd said something like that. Like, it's not that he's going to wear it, but he has it, right? And he can just kind of keep it. Yeah.
Yeah, still good. What do you expect from the Jets?
I don't know if I expect much from this team. This kind of feels like it's a little bit playing out the string here, you know, especially with some of the injuries. They lost last week 19-9. Yeah, they beat Jacksonville, but they've won one game out of their last six. And, I mean, come on, the record overall is terrible. But I just think they seem like maybe, you know, I'm sure they're guys, young guys there, you know, they really want to put a lot on film for the new coaching staff and the new GM. Like, that matters to them. They're professionals. They want to do that. But I think overall, as an organization, I think it's just, you know, they're in mode of, you know, what's going to happen coming up here, not necessarily on Sunday. Sauce Gardner looks like he's very questionable to play. He's listed as questionable. Davante Adams apparently has more of a chance to play, and it looks like he might be able to give it a go. Even Aaron Rodgers is banged up. I give Rodgers credit, though. He's banged up, and he said, look, one of his goals is to play 17 games. And, you know, he said something along the lines of, you know, if guys are going to go out there and play banged up, I owe to them to do the same thing. I like that. I think that that's good. You know, I like hearing that from him. But I just don't think they have the roster to compete with the Bills. The Bills, even on their defensive side, when the Bills were on offense the last time on Monday night, without James Cook, the Bills pounded at them. They really ran the ball well. And I just think that it's probably setting up for something like that.
Right. Cook missed that game, didn't he?
Yep.
The Jet game, the Monday night game at the Jets.
Yeah.
All right. Greg Zuerlein is back. You failed to mention that, Sal. I'm sure it was personal.
Greg Zuerlein. Greg the Leg. Back. That's right.
Is back kicking. Did you hear Al Michaels say last night that Steelers Cardinals Super Bowl was the best game he ever called?
I didn't hear him. I saw they were showing the highlight of the, is it Harrison return, the touchdown?
Yep.
They were showing that highlight. And then was that when Herb Street said to him, is there anything you haven't called? And he said, when he said something else, like, I don't know, but he said he called NASCAR once or something. I don't know. It was a really weird, interesting conversation about that.
I might have missed that, but he said it was his favorite or the best game he ever called. I immediately thought of Super Bowl 25, but I guess Steelers-Cardinals was good too.
Now, wait a minute. That's just football. Did he say great?
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
A sporting event because
no,
we nothing know 19, beat we know 1980. I mean, right? I mean,
how do you put anything above that?
I don't think you could.
The
put
72
above that.
Reds playoffs, the NLCS, you know, maybe would be right there for Al. He was the voice of the Reds 52 years ago. He was the voice of the Reds. Come on, pretty good. Thank you, Sal. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Talk to you on Monday or Tuesday or whenever it comes around.
I never got an injury question is. Quickly, what matters here? Sorry.
Oh, for the Bills.
Yes.
For the Bills? Real quick. Four guys questionable. All three of their top four safeties. Taylor Rapp, Damar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, all questionable. Curtis Samuel, questionable. Sean did not rule anyone out for the game. That, again, goes to we'll see where it goes. Also, by the way, that's a great question you asked because I want to say it does bring into the possibility that Micah Hyde could be elevated tomorrow.
Okay, good. Thanks, Al.
You got it.
The Barnes Firm Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal's appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. You're placed to buy a case. New York's only Outlet Liquor. What's your outlet? Too many other important subjects. Which network carries which playoff game? Who will play in which slot? The 72 Reds. At least I thought of it last minute there to get in an injury question. 803-0550. Injuries, the Jets, the MVP stuff. What grabs you? The Sabres host Chicago tonight. Pregame at 6. Football Friday continues. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Well, it is important. Every game's important in the NFL. We treat them as such. And, you know, at the end of the day, does seeding matter? I think to a certain extent, but also not to a certain extent as well. So at the end of the day, it's about us playing as good as we can possibly play tomorrow and then on into the playoffs.
Sean McDermott, Sal was intrigued by some of what he said this morning. Sal just told me, thinking that it wasn't just one note about this game matters. The Bills will clinch the 2 if they win. If they lose, the 3 is still possible. They'll have to win next week to avoid that unless Baltimore loses. You're still going. You're still running that race. And Sal was intrigued by that McDermott just didn't simply stop at the every game's important and here's why this one is stuff. But I'll believe it when I see it, that the Bills, to put it one way, fool around with their lineup in this game. I just think it's one of the worst looks ever for a coach. If, no matter what the stake is, in this case, you know, they've won the division, it's the seeding. It's whether or not you would be at home in the second round, potentially. It could be about that. And I just think a coach would almost never be willing to make anything, even on that level, seem like it's not important to him. I mean, for most of the history of this league, the top players didn't skip the last game of the season ever. You know, like they didn't skip the preseason either for most of the history of this league. Now, a lot of guys leave their best players out of the preseason entirely, and it's weird when you get to week 18 and you've got it clinched, and you play everybody. Like, how incredible would it be if Mahomes and Kelce played next week? They've got nothing to play for. That'd be incredible. And the slightest thing goes wrong, and it would just go down in history as a gaffe. Like, how could you have played them? We've moved over to that side of the board here on this topic. But the Bills are not there yet. And if the Jets push them, I would think that everybody plays all out in this game. I mean, maybe somebody doesn't if they're hurt, but that can always be the case. And then it's next week, if the Bills win the game, that all the guys you're thinking of would sit for some or all of it. I just don't think we're there yet because of what's happened, you know, going in to this week. I don't want to say all that and have that be like that I couldn't respect it. I like to sort of look at things from different angles, and depending on what it is, maybe I would respect it, but it would just be, it would just go down as, did he not know what the standings were? In the same way, when it comes to 13 seconds, we talk about, are we sure the Bills knew what the score was of this game? Like, just, it would be kind of incredible if, what, if they're up by 10 at halftime or something and Allen leaves the field? Like, just, I doubt it. If the game is over, like any game, then sure. 803-0550 for your calls. And the MVP thing, you know, Sal was interesting to listen to on that. I think the bottom line is that it's important to them, and because it's important to Allen and both. I mean, individually, the player, but also to the organization, the cachet of having the most valuable player be from your team. And so I think that's probably more interesting for next week, because that, if the Bills beat the Jets, which they should as 10-point favorites, that shouldn't supersede the standings, the value of the rest. You're playing the following week as badly as you might want to win it or have him win it. And pretty good chance Baltimore will play Lamar Jackson next week. The only way that I think they might not is if the Pittsburgh game, they play Cincinnati, happens first, which they would probably really like if the Pittsburgh game happened first, and they would then know what the situation is. And I think the league tries to avoid that just for fairness. So that Pittsburgh and Baltimore, I'm not saying for sure that this will happen, but if they were to play at the same time, the Ravens would not have the luxury of knowing the Steelers' results, naturally. So then Baltimore needs to win to clinch the AFC North. If they lose, that's in peril. That would probably be very important to the Ravens. And if that's where it lands, then Jackson would have a chance to put up a game, another game against the Browns at home that could move the, you know, move the meter when it comes to the MVP. And if the Bills win here Sunday, they're in a spot where they would not need the New England game at all. And so then McDermott might be in a little bit of a pickle, because he probably should sit Allen for most of that game, regardless of what the MVP thing is. And you might say, and I might say, that I don't think the voters should care too much about that or hold it against Allen, because it's just the circumstances with his team. It's not like it's on him that they won a game or two more than the Ravens did. It's quite the opposite. So that shouldn't be a strike against him in that conversation. But if you follow the MVP stuff this year, you've seen how it works. And last year, it's just so day to day or week to week. And what has Allen not done in the last month to improve his chances? He's had spectacular games. Otto Graham, right? 3 touchdowns rushing, 3 passing in one game. Then the Lions game happened, which was almost the same thing. The touchdown against the Niners in the snow. New England was not as much, but they controlled that game eventually, and it was just not incredible, but they won. It was fine. So that's all happened in the Bills' last four. They did lose the Ram game, but still, like, that's all happened in the last 4 weeks, and the gap has shrunk. Why? because Jackson is doing the same stuff, you know, and it's just whatever's more recent moves the betting market, which is different from the vote itself. If I were a voter, I would probably enjoy the ride, you know, all the discussion about the lines and the, you know, the guesses about what it is. But what I'd want to do, what I think I'd be able to do is wait until the season is over and then look at everything and not be subject to like the ebbs and flows of the talk radio side of it. Here's Steve with us next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. I'm in three Superflex fantasy football finals this week.
Good for you.
Thank you. In one of them, I have to start Jaden Daniels. In another, I have to start Jordan Love. And in the third, I have the choice of Daniels, Love, and Knicks. I'm pretty locked into Daniels. My gut would say start Love, but there's a part of me that wants to kind of diversify and go with yep. Knicks. And I had made that decision to do that, and then I read about the potentially bad weather for that game. So I'm just interested in your thoughts.
Oh, really? Cincinnati?
And in general, yes.
I didn't know that, but I think you're fine. Yeah. I think you're fine doing that, though.
Go with Knicks?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like the idea of it. I hate having too many eggs in the same basket, but
Love at Minnesota. I mean, they're such a Jacobs team too. Green Bay. Love is good, but they run for so many touchdowns, and that's a tough matchup. So Cincinnati is not a tough matchup. I don't know about the weather, but that's a nice matchup for Knicks. I mean, you're in pretty good shape.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Oh, should I have asked Steve if he's playing against me? I'm in a couple of these. Hopefully he's not setting me up because he's playing against me. Or maybe he thinks I know that. No, I'm looking at football guys now. I take almost all my cues from rankings. Like I rarely will diverge much from rankings. I let other people do that work. And football guys, Sigmund Bloom, they have Daniels quarterback 3 for the week, including behind Jackson and Mahomes, who've already played. And then Knicks quarterback 9 and Love quarterback 14. It's a really tricky week. Hurts is going to miss. That's massive. Richardson for the Colts, who's ranked on this thing above Jordan Love, even, but he hasn't practiced all week. They have the Giants. You'd love to have him play against the Giants, but he might not. And like we've got 3 games that are over. So you don't have, if you didn't pick Russell Wilson or you didn't pick Stroud, which was probably good, or Geno or Caleb Williams, like you've got sort of comparable quarterback options whose games are already over, really limits what you have available here this week, maybe to the point where you're looking up Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph or somebody like that, in which case I would rather play Rudolph, but that's not comfortable. Mason Rudolph, Mac Jones, Michael Penix, Bryce Young even. Bryce Young against Tampa is a more comfortable start for me than those other guys. Almost than Love. Wow. I think Bryce Young's been good. I believe it. I'm not watching all his tape, but enough people are sort of coming around to say, this is actually working now. That's an amazing turnaround because it hardly ever looks worse than it was looking for him. And he went to the bench. Was it Andy Dalton who went in? And then maybe he had a car accident or something. And then Young played. And that looks way different. I bet Caleb Williams. It's so crazy how it's flipped, you know? I bet Caleb Williams could really appreciate having a game or two that Bryce Young is having lately. Because Caleb Williams, that is rough. I think it's mostly the team. But, man, like they just do not complete anything down the field, and they have good or great receivers. They just cannot complete a 10-yard pass, the Bears. Seattle gave him all night, and he just kept getting sacked. So that's pretty gross. Not the rookie year you wanted in Chicago, to say the very least. Speaking of Chicago, the Blackhawks are in town for a game with the Sabres tonight. Paul Hamilton will join me at the top of the hour to set it up on the Steve Foley Law pregame show. Football Friday continues. We'll go around the league in a dash and picks as well, cramming those in. Bulldog is not here, but I know what he wants. So that'll be next here on WGR.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Early to the picks with the hockey game tonight. Wouldn't want to jam up the Steve Foley Law pregame show with picks, especially when Bulldog is not here. I'm just going to read his as well as mine. He has, and I know you're dying to know, a one-game lead over me going into the weekend. He sent me five pro games, so that's what I'll do, even though college is still a thing. That's fine, though. He had Chicago plus 4.5, I think it was, last night, and I just took Seattle to, like I told him, I don't want it to be tied anymore. I'm kind of bored. Didn't like losing that one with Seattle against a team that cannot complete a pass, but could only score 6 points, the Seahawks. 6-3. I guess that's a well-earned cover. Good for Bulldog with the Bears. Good for anybody that had the Bears. Yuck. All right, so he went first, and here's what he sent me. Detroit, Monday night, -3.5 at San Francisco. Okay, didn't like the game. Indianapolis, -7.5 at the Giants. Might be Joe Flacco there for the Colts. And that game is still up, so I feel like maybe that's the right side, Indy, because the books are not scared of that change. They might even think it's better for the Colts. Bulldog might think that himself. Denver, on the road tomorrow at Cincinnati, +3. I went back and forth on that one, and I kind of like Denver too, because the Bengals are just pretty sexy right now, and it's still Burrow and Chase going for stats. Is Denver good enough to win there with a lot on the line? I think they might be. So Denver +3 at Cincinnati. They clinch if they win. The Rams -6.5 at home to Arizona. Sammy P kind of talked me into the Cardinals on that one. And then Bulldog likes Green Bay +1.5 at Minnesota. That's the only game I took of his. I'm taking Minnesota -1.5 against the Packers on a short week. Don't love it, but going with the better, I think is the better team, actually. I'm not even sure, but going with the home team anyway. Not a lot of confidence, but I'm on Minnesota. New England tomorrow at 1, +4.5 at home against the Chargers. L.A. to Foxborough for an early game on a Saturday. Don't love it for the Chargers. Tampa, -8.5 at home against Carolina. I think the league would love it if Tampa wins the game. I mentioned this with Sam earlier as well, because it opens up a couple interesting possibilities for flex games next week if Tampa stays alive. So I think they'll get the calls on Sunday. -8.5 against the Panthers, although impressed with Bryce Young like I was just talking about. Philadelphia with Kenny Pickett, -7 at home against Dallas. I just love the Eagles roster. And I think the quarterback change is there to tempt you to take the Cowboys. I will still take the Eagles at home -7. No CeeDee Lamb for Dallas. And I'll take Atlanta. I also went back and forth in this game, but I want to be on it. Atlanta +4.5 Sunday night in Washington. I just think those teams are more equal. Washington is really fun. But I don't want to give them, I don't want to give anybody playing, how come I can't spit this out? I'm not comfortable with Washington giving more than like 3 against maybe anybody. So I'll take the points with the Falcons, who have a lot to play for themselves. They're in the driver's seat in the NFC South. Picks, everybody. Next, the Steve Foley Law pregame show, Sabres and Chicago. Paul Hamilton joins me after the update. This is Mike Shope, Football Friday on WGR.